It's time to go beyond happy and to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living with Kimberly Rinaldi, the founder and owner of the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Having created a highly successful coaching practice, Kimberly now teaches lessons in joyful living. She believes in empowering others and that through it, you have the ability to break through any and all barriers. What used to take weeks, months, or even years, she can now show you within a matter of hours with her programs. Kimberly can help you achieve your highest potential and move towards your soul purpose. And she provides you with tools that you can carry with you for a lifetime. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. And now, our founder and your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning and welcome. And today is Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014. Gorgeous morning outside. Lots of exciting things going on over here in Southern California where I am. I'm getting very excited. I was talking to my cousin who was joining me at I Can Do It in Pasadena this weekend. We're making plans to meet at the hotel. I'm going in Friday afternoon to see Reed Tracy, and he's doing a publishing intensive on Friday, and she's joining me for the Wayne Dyer. He's doing Friday night, sort of the keynote Friday evening, and she's going to meet me between the Reed Tracy and the Wayne Dyer thing. But it's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Wayne Dyer, Christian Northrup, just so many leaders in health and wellness and personal development. Several have been guests on our show, and we're hoping to make contact with a handful of others and invite them to be part of Lessons in Joyful Living as well. So, very exciting week for me. Thursday night, going to Descanso Gardens, the Rise of the Pumpkins, which evidently has been going on. He told me this was going on back east somewhere, and yes, first or the second year, I don't recall that it's out here, but it's at Descanso Gardens, and 5,000-plus carved pumpkins. If that doesn't put you in the Halloween mood, I don't know what will. I'm not a huge Halloween fan, to tell the truth. I used to be an absolute horror story fanatic. Loved scary stuff. Loved it. Can't tolerate it anymore. I can't tolerate the energy behind it. It really just freaks me out and makes me uncomfortable. So I don't participate in that stuff. In fact, last night we were just finishing dinner, and we're very Mediterranean over here. We eat dinner typically between 9 and 10 p.m. That's usually about the time Mr. Rinaldi and I sort of settle in for the evening. We just finished dinner, and we were sort of sitting downstairs talking, and we turned the TV on, and I don't watch a whole lot of so it's sort of background noise for me as I do things when I'm downstairs. When it is on, but he and I were sitting there talking, kind of catching up, and then I realized there was this absolutely just horrifying flick on, and he realized it too, because I'll get up and walk out. I'm like, yeah, you want to watch that? I'm going upstairs. I'm going to read. And he paused it, and he goes, why are we watching this? I'm like, I don't know, but you better put it on, you know, the Food Channel or something, because I'm going to have nightmares, which a lot of people find funny that I get so worked up, and yet I'll work with dead people, and I'll go ghost hunting and all of that stuff. Those are situations that I can control and that I understand. Horror flicks, what I tell people is it's about energy and intention. Somebody had to come up with the idea, then they had to shop the idea, then very often it's either turned into a screenplay or a book, and then, you know, publishing or production, and ultimately a movie and everybody involved. But every hand that's involved in it really does add to that energy and intention. Just as far as I'm concerned, horror flicks, even right now talking about it, I'm getting like really tense in my mid back, and it's not an energy I participate in anymore, because I truly have seen things that are just terrifying in my own world that are real life. So why do I want to participate in this as part of my entertainment, if you will? And I used to love to go to Not Scary Farm, the Halloween Hunt. I think I went age of 13 till I was 27 every year without fail, at least once a year, sometimes more than once a year. where, you know, again, I was paying people to scare the crap out of me. And I look back on it and I think, you know, it was the adrenaline junkie in me back then. Because you do, you release a lot of adrenaline, a lot of endorphins. I just, again, I'm sitting here talking about it, and my mid-back is tensing up, and I'm just, I'm like, ah! So, that being said, I'm just no longer quite the big fan of Halloween. So, going to the Descanso Garden, seeing a bunch of carved pumpkins, that feels good, that feels right. Pumpkin spice lattes, I can handle that. Handing out candy on Halloween night to kids in the neighborhood, I can deal with that. But the other stuff, not part of my world. So if you're enjoying it, you know, God bless, enjoy. If you don't, I'm with you. I'll sit it out, thanks. So that's what's going on in my world. We have a guest today who came to us by way of Betsy Chaffee, who's been a guest a handful of times on the show, and just somebody that we love to have back and have these philosophical and spiritual conversations with. And she got a hold of me, I want to say it was last week, and said, I have somebody that you have to talk to. And as soon as I saw what our guest was doing, I said, absolutely. And now is the perfect time to have her on because, well, October is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month, or as Dr. Christian Northrup put out in a newsletter this morning, Breast Health Awareness Month. But our guest today has personal experience doing with that health challenge and overcoming it. She's a former ballerina turned businesswoman. Diana Strada blazed a trail for women as a senior executive in an all-male industry with 15 years profit and loss accomplishments in high-growth information technology and startup operations. In 1998, Diane launched a website for women, iWoman.net, which grew to the number 6 most visited women's destination on the Internet. In 2000, she began consulting Internet technology and consumer goods companies as they launched and grew their businesses. In 2012, she was diagnosed with an aggressive stage of breast cancer, which changed the trajectory of her life forever. And with the help of 5 wigs and a zest for life, she turned a corner. She chose a distinct perspective that resulted in a profound story of healing and hope, and she is now cancer-free, passionate about sharing her story through her one-woman show, Finding Lola, How Breast Cancer Freed All of Us. I want to welcome to the show Diane Estrada. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fabulous and very, very happy to be here. And very grateful to Betsy, by the way. Betsy is a fabulous woman as well, so I'm very pleased.
I know. I adore her. I adore her. And by virtue of that, I adore you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, you know, you were on a fast track. You were living a very driven life that not a lot of women get to see. You were, I'm going to say, and I'm going to go out on a limb, really connecting with that male-dominant energy, because we have the male, we have the female. So you were just connecting with that masculine drive energy, and then to get hit with a definitively female, even though men get breast cancer, but a definitively female cancer, that had to really sort of show you where you were out of balance, didn't it?
Absolutely. Although, you know, in the beginning, when I was diagnosed, and, you know, quite honestly, I found a little lump and I'd had benign kinds of things before, I said, this isn't possible. I'm healthy, I'm active, I'm a vegetarian, green drinks, la, la, la. Well, when I lost 90% of my hair in 1 hour,
wow,
it brought me to my knees. And it was the slap in the face to realize that there is something else going on in life. And you're so right. I was on the fast track. I was the only female executive in an all-male industry for almost 20 years, mentoring women to come in, but men were my role models. There were no women at that time.
Right.
And So actually this journey, and I call it really an awakening, and the way it happened was, of course, through a series of wigs, believe it or not. I was not one to stand up and be proud to be bald. You know, there are some women that really, that touches their heart and their families, and I think that's fabulous. For me, I wanted to be beautiful. I wanted to be feminine. I wanted to be sexy. And by donning a wig and putting on a wig, I found that I had these amazing feminine, very much feminine. You're so right, Kimberly. Feminine sides of me that I'd been locked away for so many years.
Yeah. I mean, and that is such a metaphor for where you were, and you really hit the nail on the head with, you wanted to be beautiful, you wanted to be feminine, and, you know, I hate to say it, but breasts are secondary, you know, sex organs, very much make us women, unfortunately, from a visual perspective outside. Our hair, you know, women, it's that long, flowing, beautiful hair thing. You take those two things out of the picture, and, you know, it really does take you out of that subjective feeling pretty, feeling feminine, feeling like you are a woman.
Yes, absolutely.
We carry both of those energies. And I love how breast cancer freed all of me. I love that you connected with these alter egos, if you will, and really incorporated them into who you are and brought them into balance. And we're going into our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk more in depth about that and talk about these alter egos and what this means to you to come and bring it to the world as a woman show, sharing how you did this. So join us back in just a few moments. We're speaking with Diana Strada. We're talking about how she found balance through the gift of cancer. And a lot of people don't see it as a gift. This is a gift, and she's giving it back to the world. Join us back in a few moments. If you haven't joined me, go to KimberlyRinaldi.com, sign up for my VIP newsletter, find out where I am, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it. We'd love to have you join us. More importantly, join us back in a moment as we speak with our guest, Diana Strada, on Lessons in Joyful Living Radio on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Having overcome tremendous obstacles herself, she believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living, and Kimberly will be right back after these on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Goals, objectives, business and action plans. How important are they for me to manage? Whether you're an executive, entrepreneur, or maybe you're just someone looking to advance your career and want to be confidently prepared for your future, business and life coach Carmen Carosa can help you remove obstacles and move forward in the right direction. Carmen is known as the Real World Coach for a reason. His no-nonsense style, along with an innate ability to form connections with people, gives you a unique opportunity to see higher and further than ever before. We live and work in an ever-changing, complicated world that can leave us with questions about every decision we make. Join host Carmen Carosa, business and life coach, on Forward Motion every Monday at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. You will realize dreams and aspirations you thought were out of reach.
Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living, teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, and know that it's calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and to share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. And now, here again is our founder and your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning and welcome back. And this morning we're joined by Diana Strada, the star, producer, writer of a one-woman show, Finding Lola, How Breast Cancer Freed All of Me. So, Diane, what wigs, I mean, because, yeah, going into a wig shop, you can release so many of those alter egos. Why did you decide on 5, and which wigs did you choose?
Well, it all started with, before I even lost my hair, I went to have a wig made just like my own hair was before I lost it, because I wanted to feel like myself,
right,
knowing that I would be going through changes. So I had a very expensive wig made. And then through the hospital where I was getting my treatment, they had a special imaging program available for women going through breast cancer, in which they helped you with makeup, but they also gave me a free wig. But this wig was totally different. Very, very short, kicky, kind of spiky hairdo. That when I came home with that on, my husband went, "Oh my gosh, that's darling. That's so cute. Such a different look on you. It's very, very short and it's cute." And he said, "I want to take you out on a date."
Uh-oh.
And so I went, "Oh, okay." So we go out to the movies and he buys me these sunglasses and we go and buy an outfit. And all of a sudden he said to me, "You just are acting differently." And he said, "I'm acting differently towards you with this wig. It's kind of funny." And I felt very adventurous. I felt very self-centered and kind of Frenchy, I don't know what. And so my husband said, "Well, hey, why don't we name this and kind of play around with this?" And at first I thought, "Are you kidding me? Play? This is a serious thing. You know, my life is serious." But, you know, he cajoled me into thinking, okay, so the name Babette, which is a little French pouty kind of whatever, came up. That's how it started. And I ended up wearing Babette all the time. The other wig just didn't seem quote unquote like me, because I'd released a piece of me that was fun and playful.
Yeah.
After my surgery, the oncologist came back to me and said, "Oh, well, I'm sorry to say, Diane, your tumor has disappeared in the breast, which is amazing. However, you still have quite a bit of cancer in your lymph nodes, so I want you to do 15 more chemos." I had had four.
Eek.
And I was stunned. And as I was driving back from that appointment with the oncologist, I said, well, I could go out and buy some shoes or do something, or I could go buy some wigs. So I went straight to a wig store and sat down and tried on and found two different wigs. One was long and swingy, and the other was a platinum blonde, page boy, kind of really kicky, funny. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there was some magic about those. I put one of them on when I came home, and my husband went, "Oh my gosh, who's this?" And a name just popped up, Nikki. Nikki had the long swinging hair. And then I went upstairs and tried on the blonde wig, and I came down with that, and I felt like a little showgirl kind of thing, because, you know, a platinum blonde, they're just kind of out there.
Yeah.
And I said, I had trouble naming her, because the name that came to me, it's kind of interesting, intuition, was Ginger, but Ginger's for red hair.
Yeah.
So after playing around, I decided to name her Gigi. And I found that when I was with Gigi, I was more attracted to, you know, musicals, singing and dancing. And a health practitioner said to me, "You know, you've had a dancing background. Why don't you volunteer for the Children's Hospital of Orange County Follies? That's a singing and dancing of people in the community, and it's a fundraising for children, a lot of them children with cancer."
Right.
So I was still going through radiation. In fact, I was on the 24th radiation treatment when most people are in bed, and I put on Gigi, and for 2 hours I was singing and dancing and auditioning for this show, got a part, and I felt so alive with this part of me. So I had the four wigs, and then a friend of mine who was in theater brought me this long, red, outrageous wig that when you put it on, every woman loves, would fantasize to have all this long, red, curly, copious curls.
Yeah.
And I felt slinky, and I felt very sexy, and, you know, Mae Westy kind of thing. And I named her Lola.
I love
and
that.
And Lola brought all of these together, because what Lola was so out of the, you know, out of, over the top, that it really brought to life that within all of us, we have multifaceted. As you said, we have the male and the female, but each within the female, there's intricate parts of us that sometimes come forth and sometimes they don't, depending on what stage in our lives. And they all were coming forth and manifest through Lola, which is this indescribable, joyful, outrageous part of us that celebrates life and is joyful and happy in any situation. And I found she became the most popular. Everyone loved Lola. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. People would call me and say, we want Lola to come to our wedding, or we want Lola to come to this party. But it was engaging everyone around me to see that it is not what is happening to you at the moment. It is how you choose to behave in that moment.
You know what? It is your response. And we had, I don't know if you're familiar with the book Radical Remissions by Dr. Kelly Turner. She's an oncology researcher.
Oh, no, I'm not.
And amazing book. We had her on back in June. And she found 79 correlations between what we call radical remission, which is, you know, places where people have healed spontaneously from cancer. There were 9 commonalities within those 79 correlations. And you have touched on, like, already a handful of those. And whether you choose alternative care, no care, or, you know, traditional care or Western medicine, you still need these 9 commonalities, or a handful of them at least, to help with the healing process. And you intuitively tapped into it. That's what I love about this.
Yes, and the interesting thing is that we all have that ability. It happened through me, through Wiggs. I was talking to a woman who had lung cancer the other day, and she told me she used masks. She put an animal mask over, and she felt like a lion. And so she was strong and courageous and able to move forward. When I was going through chemo, there was a woman wearing an animal hat, you know, a rabbit with long ears and conversation stopper, of course.
Hey.
She said, well, I have many of these different hats because they bring out, I just feel fun and playful.
You know, and that's just it. It's opening up, even in the midst of something that can be so frightening and so debilitating, and create that energy around you. And it's there is no coincidence to the conversation that I discuss usually before I bring a guest on, but it's creating that energy around you. Had you not embraced this desire to be playful and to bring out these other aspects, they were already there, but to really bring them out in a metaphor that was tangible for the people around you, you actually helped them support you.
Yes.
By buying into this fun rather than the, oh, Diane, that's terrible. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
You know, the fact that they were requesting Lola to show up.
Yes.
I love it.
I'll tell you, we went to a party and they had name tags. And with my husband, they had, hi, I'm Robert. I'm dating Lola.
Awesome.
And then I come in, hi, I'm Diane, a.k.a. Lola, or Gigi, or whatever. But Lola was always asked for. But I'll tell you, I chose to become vulnerable and let people know what was happening. And a lot of people want to hide it.
Yeah.
And they're ashamed. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. So I think, for me, opening up, being vulnerable, and sharing the story, and of course, as you said, with people became so engaged. Actually, a woman told me last night, she said, you know, I feel more courageous now. If something were to happen to me, because of what I saw you go through, I feel I have more courage and that there is a way that I could go through anything.
Yeah. You know, and that is, we get caught up, and I get, you know, philosophical for a moment here. We get caught up in our humanness. Our eternal spirit is bound by nothing, capable of anything, perfect in every single way. We're here to have a human experience. It's messy. It's ugly. It's, you know, pain in the ass at times. But it's that connection of knowing that whatever you need exists within you. You just need to find a way to tap it or remember
it. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the power. That's the real power. So we've got a couple minutes before our next break. How did this personal experience turn into, now I'm going to get on stage and I'm going to share this with people?
Well, I first started writing a book, and I've been working with Betsy on a book for really the last year. Uh-huh. And it just wasn't connecting with me. Wasn't flowing. And actually, it was a friend of mine who said to me, Diane, why don't you do a one-woman show? For heaven's sakes, you had singing and dancing in your background. You come alive when you're doing the Follies. Why not create something? And it was like instantly I knew that that was the vehicle for me to be able to profoundly bring a message very, very differently, but in a very strong, poignant way. And it's interesting, as you know, when you set your intention and you put your attention on that intention, things just start flowing and manifesting, and it's got a life of its own now.
I love it. We're going into our next break. When we come back, we're going to be able to have Diane tell us where we can meet Lola, because I like her already.
Thank you.
Just a few moments. We're speaking with Diane Estrada. We're talking about that power within you. We're talking about those alter egos, those essences, those facets that exist within all of us, that sometimes we have to hit a rough patch to connect with. So join us back here on Lessons in Joyful Living Radio on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Having overcome tremendous obstacles herself, she believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living, and Kimberly will be right back after these on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Do you want to get a contact high? Tune in for fun, inspiration, and motivation every Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Learn how to maximize your mojo and just say no to the status quo. Get inspired and motivated by a fun-loving coach who knows what it's like to get through this thing called life. With your High on Life coach, Audra Irwin, each Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time and 12 noon Eastern.
It's time to devote time to yourself and strap yourself in for a fun, down-to-earth, enthusiastic, compassionate, easy-to-understand discussion on the unlimited ways you can be all that you want to be. Join us for Be Institute Radio with Christine McKee on Toginet Radio. Each week, Christine will have lively and open discussions and interviews, share stories and case studies, and hear from experts on the topic of the week. Christine, a registered psychologist from Australia and published author of Be by Design, How I Be Is Up to Me, hosts lively discussions and interviews every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living, teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, and know that it's calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and to share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. And now, here again is our founder and your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning and welcome back. Today we're joined by Diane Estrada, and we're talking about her journey, her gift, cancer and how she's giving back and what she learned from this challenge in her life. And some of the things that we're most resistant to are our greatest blessings in life. I truly believe it. You know, Diane, it's one thing to go through and to be open with the people around you. It's another thing to put your experience on display for the entire world to see. And that takes a certain amount of courage. Would you say that that courage was there? I mean, we know it was there inherently, but would you say that it was there and accessible before Lola, or do you think Lola really helped contribute to that?
Oh, I absolutely believe that Lola helped contribute to that. You know, as you mentioned, it was a piece of me, but, you know, my career, quote unquote, was 40 years ago in high school and those kinds of things. So, and the degree of outrageous courage stepping forth in the unknown, I guess, has been fueled by Lola. I mean, Lola really has opened up a doorway for me to go through that I've never really gone through to the degree that I have.
I love that. I love that. And the thing is, for somebody who's listening and thinking, okay, this is a little far-fetched, we all play roles in life. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
I'm daughter, sister, wife, friend, mentor, teacher, student. We all play roles in life, and we bring different aspects of our personality and of our spirit and essence to each role, because I don't show up as a sister the same way I show up as a teacher. There may be crossover energy, but we play roles, and that's the thing that really is the beauty of this. And we have the essence, we have the spirit, we have the connection for just about any role that life throws at us. Just need to find whatever tool it is that we need to step into that role. Isn't that right?
Yes. And to be able to call that forth when you need it.
Consistently. That's the
yes.
key. Yeah.
Well, so. I guess the other thing is really believing and trusting in yourself, too, because
it looks like we're having some Skype issues. We're working on getting Diane back on. We love Skype. It's Mercury retrograde. These things happen. So we're talking about how you're able to connect with those inner parts of you that exist already. And what we were talking about was the fact that they're there. And you know, you need to find whatever you need to find to connect with it. We got Diane back?
Yes, I am back.
Damn, Skype.
I know. Boy.
All right.
Yes. Well, so, yeah, those personalities I was saying that I had an experience just looking at a bald person, someone that isn't anybody that you can possibly recognize, to look into the soul and the spirit. And the fact is that I realize that we are all so much more powerful than we possibly can imagine. And that inner essence, that inner beauty, powerful, very, very powerful.
You know, and that's just it. And I remember, and it's so funny because I came from a corporate background, but mine was healthcare, so it was predominantly women. And I remember going in, and it's so funny, you know, talking about roles, talking about direction. I'd have to put on the suit, the heels, the hose, do the hair
yes.
up, the requisite French twist, if it wasn't cut in the attractive short and, you know, achievable haircut that you could do in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the French twist. And then I would go into work, and some mornings I wouldn't have time to get my makeup on. And, you know, I'd go in, I'd sit down with a cup of coffee, close my door, get the mascara and the lipstick and, you know, whatever going, and I'd walk out my door a totally different person. I would tell people, I'm like, you know what, I have a meeting in 5 minutes. I need to don the warrior outfit, the lipstick, the mascara to go into the meeting.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. It's we feel very much, our state is very tied to how we feel, tied to how we look, tied to what we present and put out there. You know, we teach it in sales. We tell people, smile, just smile. That makes a big difference. It changes.
It does. Brings the energy back as well.
They're energy anchors. So
yes.
Think about it. If you're not happy with how you're feeling, change your state. Put some lipstick on. Call it your warrior paint. Whatever you want to do. Put some heels on, ladies. And if that makes you happy too, go for it.
Go for it. Well, yeah. I've heard the statistic. I don't know. You know, approximately 80% of a woman's self-esteem is tied into the way that she looks. And you know yourself, if you get a different haircut, you get a different hair color. As you said, you put on a different outfit. You absolutely do feel different.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're feeling frumpy and you're sitting around in your sweats all day with your hair, you know, in a rat's nest, think about it. Get dressed. Put some lipstick on. You know, it doesn't make you anything other than connected to what your internal state should be. You're no less beautiful, but we have these anchors. And we know if we're wearing heels and sparkly dress that we're going to have a fabulous time. We know if we're wearing pajamas, we're going to be going to bed. We know if we're wearing sweats and slippers, it's a lazy kind of day. So think about it. These are anchors. That really is all they are. Start anchoring to what you want. Find your Lola, whatever it is.
Yes. And you really hit the nail on the head when you talked about look for what you want. When I was going through my darkest hours and the treatments and whatever those side effects were, I always focused on what I wanted and what made me feel good. If it was music, if it was, you know, a walk on the beach, if it was watering the garden, whatever it is that made me feel good, I put my attention or I focused on what I wanted. And I think that's a very key point that you brought up, Kimberly.
Yeah, and I love in the emails that we were sharing as we were booking you focused on what you wanted, which was complete healing and health and things that make you feel good, like music. You had a theme song, meditation, visualization, favorite spiritual passages, health affirmations, deep breathing, yoga, walking on the beach. And I love this, not having to shave my legs. You know, damn it,
yes.
Do what makes you feel good.
That's right.
Do what makes you feel good.
I have a mustache too, and let me tell you, I didn't have to do the depilatory on my mustache either. I mean, I love that. I love not having to shave my legs and things.
Yeah. You know, connect with what makes you feel good. That's the beauty of it. So Lola is in production phase right now. So let's talk about that. You have this one-woman show that you're ready to put out, Finding Lola, How Breast Cancer Freed All of Me. You're in the fundraising. You're in the planning. How do people connect and support this? Where can they look forward to seeing you in the coming months as you start rolling this out?
Well, first of all, I'm going through Indiegogo. And if any of your listeners out there, that's a method where people crowdfund in common, you know, donate a few $5, $10, $20 towards a campaign. And by going to my
All right. You're having some Skype issues again.
Working with venues of the places in Orange County where I'm able to get a place. Oops, someone is calling me here.
Yeah, Karina's going to grab you on the phone because you were popping in and out on Skype for us. We want you to be able to give the information.
Sure.
Without losing you. So,
right. Let me call her and see.
Okay. So, yeah, we love Skype. When it works, it's awesome.
Yes, I'm ready.
All right.
Are we back?
Okay.
All right. So, live radio, folks. We do what it takes. Do what it takes. So we are working to get Diane back on the phone and off of Skype so that she can give you the information again so that you've got absolute correct information, complete information. So,
okay.
All right, Diane. One more time. Where do we go to Indiegogo?
Okay. Easiest thing is to go to my website, letyourlolaout.com. And there is a link directly to my Indiegogo campaign. There's information in the video that explains and shows all my characters and everything about what I'm doing. And also where I plan to put this venue on. I'm already scheduled to speak at a health and wellness conference, a large, large conference in Los Angeles in February. I have the Hollywood Fringe Festival in Hollywood that's coming up in the early spring. And then in Orange County, that I'm talking with some local playhouses with the communication groups of cancer support groups and churches that are very, very interested in a show like this. And I have all of my wigs on stage, and I put each wig on, and I talk about my story unfolds through my different characters. And I will have music, and I will, Gigi, who is my dancer, will be dancing, and visuals of actual pictures of me when I was wearing these different wigs in, you know, my life setting. So it's a very exciting time. Letyourlolaout.com.
Perfect.
And you'll be able to click right through.
Perfect. And I, you know what, we've lost the arts in a lot of our school systems, and we've lost a connection to the arts in so many ways. I really do highly recommend, if you're going to do any charitable giving, find something that connects with you. For me, I love animals. I love elder causes. I love the arts. One of the things we do, Mr. Rinaldi and I own a gallery, an art gallery together. So, yeah, support the arts, folks. It is so imperative. We're going into our final break. When we come back, we're speaking with Diane Estrada. We're talking about Finding Lola, How Breast Cancer Freed All of Me. Join us back in just a moment.
Having overcome tremendous obstacles herself, she believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living, and Kimberly will be right back after these on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Do you want to get a contact high? Tune in for fun, inspiration, and motivation every Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Learn how to maximize your mojo and just say no to the status quo. Get inspired and motivated by a fun-loving coach who knows what it's like to get through this thing called life. With your High on Life coach, Audra Irwin, each Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time and 12 noon Eastern.
Martha Sanchez, the host of the Mommy to Mogul radio show, empowering women to build a successful business, invites you to join her on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. At the ripe age of 5, she was already interpreting information in documents and instructions on forms for her immigrant parents. Now, through her experience and those of her guests, she provides you with valuable steps to empower you to reach financial independence. Martha A. Sanchez is a registered nurse with a Bachelor in Nursing and Master's of Business Administration. She's a business coach, speaker, author, and CEO of Moss International, LLC. Her diverse work experience brings you expertise in areas essential to customer service, social media, and budgeting. The Mommy to Mogul radio show furthers her personal mission of empowering women to help them build successful businesses so they can reach financial independence. Join Martha Sanchez, the host of the Mommy to Mogul radio show, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Welcome. Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living, teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, and know that it's calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and to share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. And now, here again is our founder and your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning and welcome back. If you're in the U.S. or Canada and you haven't already joined me, you can text LIJL to 22828 and you're going to get added to that VIP newsletter. You're going to get a copy of my Deeper Meditation MP3, as well as some other nifty bonuses that we throw in. So check it out. Join us. Find out where I am, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, and we would love to have you participate. We've got some great things coming up. We launched a radio network 10 weeks ago. We're excited. I'm excited. I've got some other exciting things in the planning stages. I'm always doing something. Diane, we were talking on the break. We were talking about the underrepresentation of the arts, and I really believe since it isn't being taught in the schools, I think we have a, what I will call, social obligation to expose our children to the arts and, you know, the younger generation. Do you think that this is an appropriate show to share? And what age would you say bring your kids to Finding Lola?
I would say anything from... I'd have to say at least middle school, but, you know, children are so much more intuitive with life than sometimes we give them credit for.
Right.
And when you have a situation where cancer is so pervasive in our society, and I struggled with, how do I tell my children? How do I tell my grandchildren? I didn't want them to worry or feel badly about something. And this is a wonderful way to demonstrate, I think, to a child, I would say at least elementary school, that could show them that no matter what happens in life, then there's going to be some setbacks and problems in life, that there is a fun and playful way to do that. And it also gives them the experience of watching an actual production.
Yeah. You know what? I grew up. I'm old enough that we still had the arts in school, and I grew up going to theater, and I grew up going to galleries, and I grew up, you know, with these connections, and I really do have such high esteem for artists in all areas, because as we were saying on the break, I really believe that this is the channeling of, you know, greatness from the other side, and I don't know any artist that I've ever spoken with who hasn't at one point said, you know, the piece was there, whether musical or theatrical or, you know, tangible, you know, canvas-based, that the piece was there and all they did was channel it. They were the vehicle with which it came through. So I really do believe it is connection to the divine. That is my understanding and my belief. Agree or disagree with that?
I absolutely agree. I really do. Felt that connection getting stronger and stronger. And one of the things that I really learned from this was to trust my intuition and my connection with a higher spiritual connection there, that I was part of something bigger. This whole journey was never about the cancer at all.
No.
It was about, you are here to celebrate life. You are given this life to experience it, to all of the joys. And part of the contrast are the sadnesses, but the whole thing is that we are here and made a choice to be here. That's my feeling, to make a choice to be here, and that we're connected to something much, much greater, and that everything that we do touches everyone else. And we can learn from each other and lean on each other. And I get so excited when I start playing with this whole idea of, as you said, bringing the arts and bringing it forward in a more kind of dramatic way, that it's sort of kind of double duty, because it does focus on the arts as well as create a very dramatic example for people to look at. We're going to be hit by hurricanes. I call them hurricanes, whatever you want to call them, in your life several times.
Yeah.
Hopefully no one gets in the cancer world, but that seems to be a widespread thing. Well, my word now, I don't fear the C word, because the C word now means celebration to me.
Yeah. Wow. You know what? That is so key, and that is such a component to the healing process. One of the things that I'm really big on is I tell people, look, you know, these health challenges are there to teach you something. Sometimes they're a wake-up call, and sometimes the healing is in the letting go. For some of us, we don't get past them. However, when you're dealing with, you know, every single cell having the DNA coding of perfect health, and you get a cluster of cells that we're calling cancer, possibilities are endless. Possibilities are endless. So don't get stuck in fear. Find your courage. Find your Lola. Find whatever it is that puts you in that playful, joyful space. Do it. Just do it.
That is so true. That is very true. Because your body wants to heal itself, as you know. As you said, it's encoded in the DNA that every single cell knows exactly what to do to right itself.
Oh, I love that.
And you know, attitude and fear literally shuts down the immune system. And I'm sure, you know, Christine Northrup and all those alternative, the heavy medical professions will agree with that, is that your mind affects your body.
Absolutely. So,
well, I had a 3-inch tumor, mm-hmm. which I imagined it as a pile of sand, because I live down by the beach, and I imagined it as a little sand pile, a kind of little sand castle that was right at the water's edge, and the waves would come in and lap and take away some of that sand, and then they would come back in gently and take it away. So I'm saying that 3-inch tumor was gone in 2 months, totally gone. And they always say, well, gee, when the surgeon goes in, it could be there. It was totally gone. Now, chemo, 2-3-year chemos possibly will certainly do some, but to be completely gone through the visualization and the connection with allowing my body to do what it wanted to do. And by the way, I did not fight it. I embraced it. And you talked about this sometimes with your healing. I embraced the cancer and didn't push against it, because, as you know, what we push against, we continue to make it stronger. I embraced it and lovingly said, it's time to go. Thank you very much. I got that message, and lovingly, my healthy cells are taking over and off you go, kind of thing. And it did work.
Yeah.
The body knows what to do. That's for sure.
That's the beauty of it. That is the beauty of it. And, you know, again, I speak to radical remission, because it, whether you have any intervention, and this is a very personal thing, and, you know, what I want you to understand, this is not medical advice. We're not giving medical advice. Every person has to find in their health crisis what's going to work for them. For me, and I've had these conversations, I spent 20 years Western medicine. There are very few things that I get health intervention from Western medicine for at this point. If I have a bone sticking out, yeah, call 911. I'm not going to meditate on it.
Right.
I'm going to go get an orthopedic surgeon on board.
Sure.
But just about anything else, I understand the value of working within my own belief system. And there are people who, and I've been called out on social media as irresponsible. I got into a bit of a heated email exchange a few weeks ago with someone who called me out as being irresponsible for advocating not getting health care through Western medicine for cancer diagnoses. I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating for each and every one of you to find what works for you. Personally, I would not, because I have a different belief system.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody believes that they need it, then by all means, do it. If you believe that you need to change your diet and go vegan, raw vegan, and just have a lumpectomy, do it. Do it in conjunction with your higher self, with what you find the joy and the passion and the direction for. And again, I speak to the people who kind of got into it with me a few weeks ago. I am really not pushing my belief set on anybody. This is not irresponsible. Irresponsible is telling someone to go against what they know to be right for them. That's irresponsible. I mean, truly, Diane, if somebody had told you, no, you can't wear the wigs, you've got to be sick, you've got to be doing the chemo, and I want you to really feel sucky, what would your outcome have been?
Yes. I probably would not have been here. I was stage 3. It metastasized and was, you know. So I love what you said, because the key word here is be an advocate for your health. Become educated. You make your own decisions. And if somebody, I challenged my oncologist, gave me a typical protocol for chemo. I did research. I contacted other oncologists. And I came back to him and asked him to bring before his group, would you please review this? Because I've had some consultations with other people. I've become more educated in the various protocols out there, and I'm recommending that we consider another one. And at first he was, well, do you, blah, blah. You know what? He did take it before his board, and by gosh, there were enough of the other oncologists in the group that agreed with my recommendation that he said you can choose whichever one you want. I chose the one that I had done the research on, which was shorter and less aggressive. Yeah. It was the path of least resistance for him. He's just, I do this for everyone. I've been doing this for 20 years, and so you're just another person. I am an individual. I know what my body needs or can take, as you mentioned that. It's so powerful. Become your own advocate. You can make your own choices. Trust yourself.
Yeah.
Believe in your wisdom. You tap into that wisdom. I call her Lola. For me, it's Lola. But that wisdom is all of us. And we need to learn to trust it.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, your belief system is so powerful. What's done unto you as you believe. And I support you 100%, Kimberly. And thank you for having the courage to stand up and talk about that.
You're welcome. We are ending the show. I definitely want to bring you back, Diane. We have a lot more to talk about. So join us again. I look forward to having you back. Will you do that?
Absolutely. And go to letyourlolaout.com.
Perfect. Go there. Support Letting Lola Out. Let's get her out there to the masses. I look forward to seeing it on stage. Thank you all for joining us today on Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Show with Kimberly Rinaldi. Go do good things for you today. Make it all about you. Put yourself in the center of your universe. And when you find your lesson in joyful living, whatever it is, don't forget to share it. That's what we're doing here, Lessons in Joyful Living Radio. Join us back here tomorrow. Then.
Thank you for being a part of Lessons in Joyful Living with Kimberly Rinaldi on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Each week, Kimberly will be sharing from her 20-plus years in corporate and business development, decades of combined experience, to help you go past happy and to get to joyful living, to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance.